Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I appreciate that video clip we saw this morning. That was certainly appropriate. It's always appropriate. I've had thoughts come to me in the last few days. I've been trying to get together a new copy of the MCM, new issue, and I believe it's getting pretty close to ready to go to press. And somehow my mind went back to an article that we had actually used once before, and it was based on a message I preached 12 years ago. And absolutely not a new truth, but somehow I sense that this one that we maybe need to focus on right now, and it certainly is in harmony with that video clip, with whatever else is, has been sung this morning, so much about lifting up the Lord and His plans and seeing everything through His eyes. I mean, on and on. God wants to bring us in harmony with Him. You know, every once in a while I have a quote from President Reagan come back to me. He said, it's not a matter of whether God's on our side, it's whether we're on His. I mean, that's, he's thinking politically, I guess, but I mean, this is true spiritually. This is true of everything. And there's so many scriptures that you could use, but one of them came to me as perhaps a place to start, and that's in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua, of course, was the successor to Moses, and he had witnessed all of the amazing things that God had done through the hand of Moses, who was described as the meekest man on the face of the earth. See, God doesn't look for the qualified, does He? He can take somebody who walks around with a stick and leads sheep and take that and do all the mighty things that he did. Even then, even after Joshua had seen all that, we know how God encouraged him over and over again. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. God is with you wherever you go, and on and on and on, that same message to Joshua. He was just like us, folks. We think of these people as just somehow different from us, but they're not. Every one of us needs to find our place in the plan and the program of God, and to realize that He's the one who qualifies us. It has nothing to do with our worthiness, our ability. It has to do with His plan and His purpose. And to Him alone be the glory. So anyway, at this point in the story, Joshua has actually led the people across the Jordan River. And we know that God did that in a very supernatural way. He certainly sent a message to all the people on the other side. Hey, here's this great people that are coming across, and it's flood time, and God dried it up so they could walk across. Oh my God, we're in trouble. Well, I'm glad the Lord has a way of fighting the battles that need to be fought and preparing the way. He has His plan, and that's the one we need. So anyway, they come across, and there is a renewal of the covenant between God's people and Him. There's a refocus for the new generation. Don't we need that? Yeah, every generation needs to get back to the basics of what this kingdom is about. And I pray that God will do that. I believe He is. Anyway, verse 13 of chapter 5, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. Now, it's evident from how this unfolds that Joshua realized this was not some just natural guy standing out there. This was a supernatural figure. And I'll tell you, people were more aware in that day that battles they fought were not just human. There were supernatural forces. There were demon gods that ruled over the nations. And of course, we had the God of Israel. So anyway, he sees this figure of a man standing there, and he's recognizing we're about to go to battle. We better find out what's going on here. So Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? And here's the interesting answer to his question, neither. Wouldn't that be good for us to get that through our heads, that God's not here to fulfill our earthly dreams? He's got His plan. Our place is to find our place in His plan. Okay? So that's something that God wanted to really lay upon Joshua's heart and really bring to his attention. So it says, neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Boy, I tell you what, we need to recognize this principle that you see over and over in the scriptures. Now, it's one thing when God makes himself known in some supernatural way, there's an angel, and you know it's an angel, and you know there's something supernatural going on. I mean, even in human affairs, it was appropriate for someone to come before a great king to bow down and to the ground before them. It was an act of reverence, an act of respect. But how much more is that true when we have a confrontation or an encounter, I should say, with God or with someone who is supernatural from his kingdom? And you see this over and over and over again in the scriptures, in Daniel and John and Revelation and others, where there's a supernatural presence and the person involved falls on their face. I pray that God will, whether that's literal or not, I pray that God will burn that truth into our hearts. Who do we think we are? There is a God over all things, and he has a plan, and he has a kingdom, and he has a purpose. Folks, if we have any place at all in all of this, it's to bow before him. Joshua did exactly the right thing. He recognized there's the God who's in charge here. My place is not to come up with a plan and to do whatever I want to do. God, I need you to tell me what to do. Oh God, anybody here need that this morning? Yeah. And so that's the place that he took, and of course the Lord began to give him instruction as to how to fight the battle. You know, I sense more and more as we get toward the end of the age and we see things unfolding, we really, truly need to understand what's going on in the world. We've said it over and over again, and it certainly ties in with things that have been said lately. But this is a planet at war. It has nothing to do with battles, earthly battles that go on. But there is a battle, there is a plan that is going on in God's heart, because there was a rebel that took over this planet because we gave him the power to do it. He rules over a world system, a world order. He's trying to do it, use it for his earthly purposes. But in all of this, God did not create it for that reason, for that end. He created all of this to bring together a family to share eternity with. We've said that many, many times. And so the only purpose, I've said this very recently, the only reason this planet exists is for that, is for God to call a people out of prison in wherever they're at, whatever shape, whatever form that takes, to call us out of prison. He has a people. And he has an army that he has sent. We see glimpses of this in various places in the scriptures. You know, in Revelation 12, we see the dragon trying to stop the coming of Christ into the world and trying to kill the child that was involved. But God had a purpose for that child, to set him over the nations. And he did. We know who that was. It's our Lord Jesus. And we see a battle raging. We see the armies of heaven riding onto the scene. You didn't see this in the natural realm, but there was a royal battle, a supernatural battle that was going on in the realm where people could not see with natural eyes. And God won the victory that day, didn't he? Satan lost his place in heaven, and he has been down here ever since trying to hang on to power while God has sent forth the real army to gather his people. You see that pictured in other places in Revelation, where there's a rider on a white horse. Name is True and Faithful. And he rides forth with the armies of heaven going forth in the earth. And I'll tell you, there's a victory that's won. There's a people that are gathered. Yes. When Jesus came, he came to set captives free, to open prison doors. When Jesus died, or Jesus was talking to his disciples on that one occasion, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I've had that come to my heart many times, especially thinking of India, you know, where we have so many connections. And the prayer is, God, I pray that you will reach into the darkest corners of that nation, the jungles, the cities, the slums. Reach into the darkest corners and pull out everyone that you have foreknown. That's what this world is about. That's true here. God has a people that he is bringing out, and he is looking for a people who aren't just living their earthly lives and fighting their own little battles, but there's a people that he calls to be one with him. And I appreciate the reality of what Joshua was brought to see. You know, we see it in Daniel. Sometimes we're called to pray for something. God gives us a burden, and there's a time element involved. Daniel prayed for how long was it? 21 days in this case? Crying out to God, oh God, show me what's going on. Help me to understand your purpose. God laid that burden on his heart. That wasn't presumption. He was humbling himself before God, saying, oh God, I need to hear from you. And he didn't run out and make plans when he didn't hear in 5 minutes. He just kept on his face looking to God. And then finally an angel came. Well, Daniel understood that when an angel comes, you prostrate yourself. You worship God and you look to him. And so he does. And he says, the angel said, from the first time you set your heart to seek God, I was sent. We don't understand what's going on the other side. There are battles being fought. Many times God is looking for a people who will stand fast and continue to fight in the Spirit. And we don't understand. We're actually channels of God to work through, to feed strength to angels who are fighting. Do you suppose it was the connection between his continuing to pray and the battle that was going on in Persia? So the prince of Persia withstood me. There was a battle. He was invading enemy territory to get to Daniel. And God enabled him to stand and to fight. And then he sent Michael along, one of the great princes. And then the angel was released. And they prevailed enough that he could come and talk to Daniel. And show Daniel, you remember on that occasion, that was when Daniel was shown things in the book of truth that hadn't happened yet. We've talked about in the past that God has already written the story. He just wants a people who will participate in that story. Because that has everything to do with what kind of people we will be, what kind of beings we will be. Oh God, it's not about this world and your life here and all the little issues that we run into. God, help us to get past that. Starting with me, because we get so bogged down, don't we? We just want to fight our battles, and we think that anything that happens that comes against us, oh God, it's bad. I want life to be smooth right out. Well, sometimes God does intervene, and he can take care of that kind of a problem, but other times he calls on us to go through stuff. Think about how Paul stood fast for God, even though there were many times when governments were against him, armies were against him, all kinds of things came against his life, and he was stoned, and he was beaten, and he was thrown in jail for years. Did Paul say, oh, well, God's failed me? It's not supposed to be that way. I'll tell you, we wouldn't have most of the New Testament if that hadn't happened in Paul's life, and he hadn't had a faith to look past it. And to say, I'm here in God's plan. I've got an opportunity right now to communicate with these churches. I'm praying for them. I'm concerned about them. I want them to understand some things. I'm going to get them down on paper and get them in their hands. Think of the miracle of God that has preserved that for us 2,000 years later. I'll tell you, we've got an awesome God. He has a purpose that he is unfolding, and it's still going on in our day. And as we've said many times, God is not looking for a people who circle the wagons and wait for Jesus to come. We're here for a reason. And God wants a people who will look to him and say, God, what do you want me to do? Help me to be a part of it. And so, there's one little, I guess it's an area of truth that I want to touch on. And I just trust God to touch on it the way he wants. We're very conscious many times of conflicts that come up in our lives, but the devil knows how to take advantage of that, doesn't he? He can bring all kinds of things into our lives that distress us in various ways. They're unpleasant to us. We think something needs to happen, and we're going to try to make it happen. And sometimes, a lot of times, what we wind up doing is fighting our own battle. And it's not the Lord's battle we're fighting, it's ours. Because we don't like something. And a lot of times what he will do is use that to divide brothers and sisters. We're coming into a meeting. We need a people that are united in our hearts to cry out to God and say, God, we need you. Not only do we need you, there's others who need you, Lord. There's things that you want to say, things you want to accomplish. Oh, God, make us one in our heart and our spirit. You know, a lot of times we can fall into that mold of seeing something that's wrong in somebody else, or that we evaluate that way. That's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And then our spirit gets involved, gets entangled with that, and then, my God, I got to straighten it out. And it becomes a source of division because it's us trying to do something. God help us. Many of you, some of you will remember all the way back to when a brother used to visit among us many years ago, and I think it was one of his sayings, you're wrong if you're right, if your spirit's wrong. There can actually be things that are our needs that are wrong, but we can get our spirit involved in it, and it becomes a source of division and criticism and just strife among people because, but they're wrong, but they're wrong. But they're, well, they might be even, possibly. But I'll tell you, the biggest battle that I need to fight is to stand before the mirror and just say, that's the guy that gives me the most trouble. Lord, I need to bow down. I need to be on my face before God. Recognizing who he is, recognizing that he's the one in charge. He's the one in charge of charting my course, laying out the road that he wants me to walk on. That's his job. It's not my job to figure all of that out. I need to humble myself before him and look to him. And if there's a need, there are ways to deal with that. Okay? There may be needs. There are needs that come up because we're human beings and that we're in the process. But I'll tell you, what did Paul say about that? You see somebody overtaken in a fault, what do you do? Well, you which are spiritual, what does he mean? He's talking about somebody who's really actually in tune with God. They're in the right place. They're humbled before God. They're not saying, hey, I'm right and I'm way up here and what's the matter with you? Don't have that kind of a self-righteous, angry spirit. But they say, oh God, that could be me. I need to be going in a spirit of humility. I need to gently try to restore. And of course, we know that if there's an issue and that doesn't do it, and you do your best to have a right spirit before God and it doesn't solve it, get somebody else. I don't know if that's, I feel like there's always a room for that truth to be brought out. And I just pray that God will give us everyone a genuinely humble spirit where our first concern is to be on our face before God ourselves. Not to vainly imagine that we're right and we're in this position where we can look and see things that are wrong and by God, I got to straighten it out. And if until I do, I'm just not going to pay attention to them. I'm going to have angry feelings toward them or whatever it is. God help us. And you know, we can also be so fixated on the circumstances of our lives. What if Paul had focused on, I shouldn't be in prison. We know what's going on here. God's called me to preach and here I am in prison. Something's wrong. Oh God, get me. This is the battle that needs to be fought. Get me out of here. See, Paul was always in a place where the Lord brought him into a place where all he wanted was, oh God, I'm in your hands. It's not about my life and my comfort. It's about you and your kingdom. There's an army fighting. And the question is not, they didn't come to fix up my life and make it all smooth and comfortable for me so I can just sit back and let you do all the work. There is an army that is here engaged in doing the will of God and carrying it out. And I need to be so in tune with you that that's what I'm focused on. God help us. God help me. I feel my need of this very, very much this morning. It's so easy to feel like, oh, I'm tired, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. Things aren't, this isn't right, this is difficult. And to get so absorbed in that, that we think that's what the battle is. But the reality also is that when God is doing something, the devil is certainly going to oppose it. Sometimes that is a situation that arises against us in some direct way. And if we have every right to go to God with all of our hearts and say, oh God, I surrender. I surrender all. I mean, everything we sang this morning was just right on point. Oh God, this is not about me. This is about your glory. This is about your kingdom. If you're trying to accomplish something in me, praise God, help me to stand fast in this and thank you and praise you. And if there is a need for a deliverance here, you are well able to accomplish it. Think of when Peter was in prison. And think about how the Lord had a particular purpose for Peter. Now, James had already been killed, the disciple. But now Peter's in prison, and the disciples are led to gather in homes and pray and cry out to God. And of course, they were like us. When Peter showed up at the door after a supernatural deliverance, they didn't believe it at first. Oh, it's just his ghost or his angel or whatever. No, there he was. God brought us a supernatural deliverance. God can do whatever he wants to do. The problem is we need to be so in harmony with him that it's okay whatever he does. Because sometimes Peter, like James, James was killed. Stephen was killed. It was a testimony. That's where God was glorified in those circumstances. And yet Peter, God still had a purpose for Peter and others. God had a purpose for Paul to write and so forth and all that we've said. So I tell you, we need to have a heart that the first thing we know we have when we do, when we feel the oppression of the enemy, possibly on the inside, fightings within, fears without. That was in one of the songs we sang this morning, the quote from Paul. No matter what it is, if it's coming against us and we feel the opposition of the enemy, oh God, I just give this, I look to you, Father, whatever your will is in this, I'm okay with it. If you want to take me home right now and strike me down because that's your plan and your will, that's okay. Easy to say, isn't it? But you know, I believe God can bring us to that place where we are so given to his purpose, we see it in a measure that enables us to lay down our lives, to realize that our lives are, it's not about this world at all. It's about whatever he wants to accomplish. God is raising up a people to use. Are we that people? Are we a people who can so go to him and say, God, what is it you're doing? Show me what you're doing. Lord, I know the enemy is going to be fighting like tooth and nail to stop whatever you're doing, but I know there are real battles, and I know you want us to be a part of that. See, that was part of this. God could have said, hey, don't worry about it, Joshua. My army is here. We're going to take care of everything. But it wasn't that way, was it? The Israelites still had to go in and fight, but they needed to realize, hey, we're not alone in this battle. And all we have to do is say, Commander, give us our instructions. You're the one in charge. Tell us what to do, and then we'll do it. And of course, the Lord, we know how the Lord gave them one of the most ridiculous battle plans in history. You remember when the spies came back and they had seen the land and they were talking about the giants, but the walled cities, oh, walled cities, how could we possibly go against that? And the very first city they come to is Jericho. And so what's the battle plan? March around it for 7 days, once a day. The seventh day, you march around it seven times and blow a trumpet. That's the battle plan. And when they did, God just caused the walls to fall down. Walls are not an obstacle. Nothing in this world is an obstacle to God except us and our unbelief. If he can just have a people that will believe him and look to him and say, what do you want me to do? Help me to be just to do it in faith and step out and just go step by step and let you lead me, you can do anything. And it's not going to be the way I think it's supposed to work out. Always. Well, rarely. But anyway, we know how the Lord worked in that. And yet, look what happened afterwards. They defeat Ai, And God had given them, I'm sorry, Jericho, God had given them very explicit instructions. Don't you touch any of the stuff. That's not, God's going to destroy all that. Now, other places, yeah, take what you want. See, we got to listen. We got to get God's instructions for every situation. And so we know what happened. We know how that there was a man who disobeyed God in a very definite way. It wasn't something he didn't know about. He knew. But he just rebelled. And not only that, they didn't go back to the captain and say, okay, what are your instructions? Here's Ai over here. What are your instructions? They didn't do that. Hey, we don't have a problem with this. Let's just send a few guys over there and we'll take care of business. And it didn't work out very well, did it? A bunch of people died. The Lord had to straighten them out and bring them back into a place of victory. And over and over again, we see wherever the people believed God, sought God, did what he said, God gave great victories. When they didn't, when they stopped short and didn't believe, there were a lot of heathen people that still were allowed to live in that land. We see so many pictures in the Old Testament of literal battles among literal earthly nations. But we know that when the real battles that God is concerned about are not these earthly battles. God's not raising up an earthly nation. He's raising up a heavenly nation. That's the eternal covenant. And God has sent forth his army into the earth, and the battle is raging right now all around us. God help us. I feel like I'm asleep. Much of the time I feel like we're asleep more than we might like to believe. And God wants a people who will cry out to him and say, oh God, we're here for a reason. You've allowed us to come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh God, what are your instructions? Help us to believe you. Help us to look to you and trust you and know that you have the power to set needs before us and help us to be engaged in it. I pray that God will help us. You could go on and on. Perhaps others need to do that. But I believe with all my heart that there are battles that are raging. There are things that God is doing. There are unseen armies. You know, we know how Paul said not only the weapons that we fight are not earthly weapons, but he also said that the enemy that we have is not an earthly enemy, is it? It's powers and principalities. There's an unseen government in this world. That's what we have to fight against. So we can't fight with earthly weapons. We're going to have to get in touch with God. And I'll tell you, the thing that makes the church powerful is not the church and its natural abilities. It's when God gets in the church. And he only does that when we're in harmony with him, when we're walking with him, we're surrendered to him. We're not walking in unbelief, in self-will and sin and all, you know, falling prey to all of Satan's tricks, but we're literally looking to him. And he's empowering us. You know, we think about how preaching needs to be anointed. Prayer needs to be anointed too. Everything that happens in the kingdom of God is meant to be God anointing a people so that what happens is a part of his overall plan to accomplish his purpose. We have no idea the power that God has put in our pathway. It's going to involve that for sure, and it's going to involve things where he says, okay, here's what you do. There are things to do, to pray about. There are things to do in terms of activity. God knows what they are. Do you believe God has a purpose for this people right now in this hour? Are we just here to sit here until Jesus comes? Are we here to come up with plans and five-year plans and see how big a church we can build? I remember Brother Thomas saying, I'd rather have five people that really want the Lord than 5,000 or whatever. I forget the exact quote he would say, but I pray that God will just bring us to that place where, like Joshua, he'll make himself known in some way. And what is our place? To fall on our face and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What are your instructions? And God gave him the instructions. We have a God, every battle was different. Every circumstance is different. We want to make a formula out of something. God did it this way. Now we know how God works. God works by people who are in tune with him and take instruction. Jesus didn't just come down with a formula, did he? He sought the Lord every day. He said, I do what my Father shows me. The complication of that is just mind-boggling, isn't it? Just seek God and do what he says and trust him for the strength to do it. There's absolutely nothing we're saying that's new this morning, but somehow I sense a need for this. The article, or the title of the article in the MCM is The Battle is the Lord's. How many times do we remember that script, that actual quote coming out of the scriptures? When David, young man, recognized what the real battle was. This is not an earthly giant or an earthly army against an earthly army. This is a demon-inspired army that has come to challenge my God. That's what this is about. And I tell you, he doesn't have a chance because he's going up against God. And so God can take a young man with a stone and overcome a giant because the battle is the Lord's. That's where that title comes from. Praise God. And you remember when Jehoshaphat, how many times does that get cited of Jehoshaphat, the king? And there's a tremendous army, something like 1 million men suddenly amassed against them to come against them. And they were people that God had specifically said, don't bother them while you're going to the promised land. That's not who we're supposed to be conquering. And he says, oh God, didn't you do all this for us? And when we came out of Egypt, you told us not to bother them and see how they're rewarding us. And now they're coming. And God sent someone with a message. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. What a battle plan that was. Send the choir out. And God just absolutely took care of business, didn't he? We have a God who can lead us to do things that are not just religious plans, things that can produce visible results. We're here to find out what God has us here for. And I believe if we'll set our hearts to seek God and then he begins to speak and we begin to act, we're going to see him do things in this hour. I see more and more. I was mentioning this to Sue yesterday that, you know, we lived for so many years as a result of the visitation and the intensity of it with the idea that we were just at the doors of Christ's coming. It's just about to happen. Instead of the Lord showing us the unfolding of the end of the age. And I began to have in the 90s especially, I remember my conviction being shifted. And I'm realizing we've got some time ahead of us. Now, we better be careful and not be like those people that Jesus talked about. He says, my Lord delays his coming. And then you begin to toy with the world and say, well, it doesn't matter. I remember we had people who joined us on the strength of that visitation. And then when it didn't happen in a year or two, oh, well. You know, they kind of lost interest and drifted away. And I'll tell you, God is going to have people that will stand for him. And when he comes, it will be at the time when you least expect it. But I'll tell you, God is, what I see is God unfolding things, God moving in different ways to reach people. And it's not something where you can say, well, you look at it and you see something unfolding and the world system is unfolding and things that are happening. And I believe God is gathering a harvest in this hour. There's purposes that he has unfolding. It's not to have a people, like I say, who hang on till Jesus gets there. Well, actually, it was Jen Hartman who said that originally. Hang on till I get there. Praise God. We do in one sense, but there's a reason that we're here. We're to be engaged in that. When Jesus was there, there was a harvest to be gathered. And he said, pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. That's not for us to come up with plans. It's for us to say, oh God, help us to be in the center of your will. Help us to hear your voice and do what you want us to do. And to not let the enemy get in any fashion to divide or to do anything but to have a people that serve him. I guess I don't know what the title would be, the Lord's battle. But I'll tell you, that's the one we need to be fighting. Wasn't there somebody who commented to David, said, you fight the Lord's battles? Those are the ones we need to be fighting, where we find out what he wants, he tells us what to do, and we do it, but we realize we're not alone in that battle. There's a heavenly host that's fighting alongside of us. And I'll tell you, the battle is the Lord's. And thank God, like the song Brother Thomas was given so many years ago, the battle is the Lord's and it's already won. At the cross, it was done. It's amazing when you think about it, how God has already written history, and yet here we are having to live it out. But God is accomplishing something in me and in you in the process of our having to participate. We're not here to be spectators and say, well, isn't that great? Look what the Lord's doing. Look at all that. God wants us engaged. At the very least in prayer, but that's not the least, is it? If real prayer is God pouring His Spirit through us and divine power going out and doing stuff, that's not just, okay, we're just praying. You know, if all you're doing is throwing up nice sounding words, I mean, and it's just you, that's one thing. But if it's God through you and through me, God's doing something in the earth. He might be preparing something. He might, like David or like Daniel, be doing something. It takes 21 days or it takes 21 years. I don't know. That's not my business. My business is to get in touch with God and be in tune with heaven and God's purposes in this hour, because the battle is His. The army of heaven is here. They're active. But God wants us to be engaged in the things that engage His heart and His mind. Praise God. Anybody here want to be in tune with Him? Yes. Praise God. Yes. Anybody need this? Yes. Yeah, I do. I don't know what the battles are in your life right now. We need to give them to the Lord. We need to say, what is your purpose in this? If your purpose is that I would stand and be strong and become, learn how to stand in the face of adversity, then give me what I need to do it. If this is something where the devil's coming against me and you want to move him out of the way, then you can do that too. Praise God. And there's no formula. That's why we're going to have to seek Him about everything. You don't ever find a formula for serving God. The formula is just seek God and do what He says and trust Him for the strength to do it when He says it. He is so faithful. Praise God. I'm so glad the battle is the Lord's. But we need to find out what's going on and get in tune with it. And I'll tell you, He's got a reason we're here. And it's to bring glory to Him and to serve Him in this hour. And don't worry, we know how it turns out. Praise God, we're on the winning side. Thank God.